Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Pranks and Firth podcast. Me, Ash Frith, Justin Panks up the road. Now, I'm not saying we're in any kind of hurry this week, but how's it going, Justin?
Hello, music. Thanks to all the Patreons. How you been, mate? speed pod.
We're squeezing it in between your illness.
Oh, God, my fucking illness that just won't go away. And now it's even more pernicious and all-encompassing than the physical symptoms. I've got mental issues.
Yep. So, anyway, thanks for listening.
And, eat more fish.
Is that a thing?
I just think it's good for you, isn't it? All the acids and stuff. Not you, I'm talking to the listener. I know you don't eat fish.
I'm not going to start eating fish now because you've told me to.
What about artificial fish?
Artificial?
Yeah, put the fish in artificial. Yeah. What about artificial fish? Would you eat that?
I've had some. It's disgusting. It's absolutely...
What do they do? Do they get a piece of tofu bacon and then wipe it up the old lady's minge and that? Yeah.
I wish you hadn't said that.
I honestly started... Couldn't have bought... If I could have pressed my ejector seat after the first two syllables, I would have done. Mm. But I committed. And do you know what? I don't regret it. I regret it immensely. I want the ground to open up and swallow me, Ash.
It wasn't good, was it, when you said it? And I saw it coming from... As you start... When you did the voice, I knew what was happening.
Well...
And I didn't like it.
Obviously, Jussie P wants his cake and eat it because... As people have levelled at such creations as Al Murray and Alf Garnett, I kind of mocked someone who would think it was funny to say something so coarse, while simultaneously, if any puerile-minded out there thought it was funny, I will take the credit for it as well. So
that is the beauty of that kind of comedy, isn't
it?
Say what you like and then
say
it wasn't what you were thinking.
I think it was ironic, mate. I was being ironic, like Dapper Laughs. Like, God, you remember when everyone just hated the Dapper Laughs?
Did he ever actually say that he was being ironic?
I think he went on Newsnight in a turtleneck.
He did do that.
And I think he said, when I was creating a character, it was meant to be this and that and the other, but I don't think you... Well, I tell you, I don't know if you're familiar with this guy, the American conspiracy fruitcake, Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well,
yeah,
do you know that he went through like a quite a high-profile divorce, and I think his wife went for custody of his children, saying she's worried about him because of his mental health. And he, or his lawyer, whatever, in court, his line was, I don't mean any of it, I'm a performance artist.
Oh.
And then goes back to doing InfoWars and saying Sandy Hook was all a hoax and there's no dead children and the dead children's parents are all actors.
But he's saying it so... Oh. I don't know where you stand on that then, really. You'd have to prove it one way or another, because...
What I'm saying is, I don't like it if... Well, is the hypocrisy in either he is a performance artist and he makes money by... But his audience aren't in on the gig, if he is.
Imagine
he's a charlatan.
His partner leaving him. Like, what must have happened for her to get to the point where she's like, you know what?
Black helicopters!
Yeah,
I'm quite hyper today. Have you noticed?
Yeah, you're on a massive downer. Or
seriously, anyone who gives a fuck, one of the symptoms, a lasting symptom of glandular fever. Don't keep going around with glandular fever. Is it can cause depression, and I think I think for the first time ever, I've said I am before, but I just meant I was a bit sad. I actually feel depressed. It's like for no reason. It's quite horrible. So I think I'm trying to. I'm trying to EQ it up the old other way, mate. Polar opposite. Bipolar opposite. And I'm pretending I'm all up. But I'm going to cry and hug myself in the fetal position after this.
That's fair enough, mate. You could do that.
Thank you. But I did, before we started recording, I told you I was depressed and I said I want to disappear. And you said, yeah, you should.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's best for you that you do just disappear.
Yeah. I don't think you'd get a second shift at the Samaritans, put it that way.
You said that you feel very, very sad.
And you said, and I said, for no reason. You said, no, actually, you've got good reason.
I think you've got perfect reason to feel sad, the way things have gone for you.
Now I actually think that.
Yeah.
From the outside, do I cut a tragic figure?
Yes. We all think it.
I'm like the saddest eagle on the branch.
I think you should... Well, there's one way of cheering yourself up.
Is that jumping off the Orwell Bridge with breeze blocking each pocket? Drink? I've got a cup of coffee here. I actually didn't drink last night.
No, Colin, get yourself some booze. Drink enough of that to perk your mood up, mate.
Yeah, how much vodka does it take to wash down 400 paracetamol?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'll get back to you tomorrow. Well, I won't. The coroner will. But no, you shouldn't say that. How do you know I might be on the verge of being actually doing something like that? Yeah, you'd feel bad. Yeah, I think you would feel bad.
I reckon I'd take...
You'd edit all this bit out.
This has got to go up. We're so late already because of your constant fucking illnesses. This has got to go out almost live.
You would edit out you goading me into suicide should I have taken my own life.
No, Justin, don't.
I've been back in the saddle.
Oh, yeah?
Gigging again.
Where you been?
I did a gig that you said you did, that you said was really good, and it was okay. I was MC, but it was like, felt like one of them gigs where it felt like hard work, and then afterwards everyone was full of how, you know, the audience said how great it was, and you're like, really? What the fuck?
That's always so weird. Why didn't you give me some laughs or some enjoyment out of it?
Yeah, it was kind of like a corporate for world class poker players. That's what it felt like. They was all bluffing. They were just sitting there so stony faced. And I've noticed that in the smaller rooms, not the big weekend clubs, you know my sort of shtick? Well, no, it's not my shtick, because shtick's a fake thing and more contrived.
Like,
but
you're calling people an arsehole, but we're not calling them an arsehole.
I'm an arsehole in life. And in life, I find that kind of thing funny. So in the weekend clubs, I MC and I'm not very nice to people. It's like my, you know. Yeah, it's not shtick because it's actually me. It's like, you know, they say finding your voice when you start comedy. It's actually losing the nerves to reveal your real voice.
That's... Yeah, your voice happens to be a bit of a cunt.
My voice happens to be, wanker. That's my voice. But, yeah, in the smaller rooms, it's like, oh, I am just an arsehole. Because like, they were sort of going, They all sort of knew each other. I'm like, what do you do?
Yeah, they don't like it. It's
and I
really
go, what
weird...
do you do? And they tell me, I go, you fucking loser. I don't do that. But that's kind of like a distilled and hyperboled up version of my
Yeah, they
voice.
Don't like it if you're picking on people.
Do you know what? No, I don't care.
Well, maybe you need to adapt slightly for the room you're in.
Maybe they do.
Okay.
Well, yeah, look, Martin Luther King, mate. Did he accept the status quo or did he dare to dream?
Yeah, but
I'm
he
very
wasn't
much like the
calling
Martin...
people dickheads, was he? Con club in Histon.
Depends. It just happened to be his dream was about his daughters growing up, where they were judged on the content of the character rather than the colour of their skin. He could have dreamt about fucking. He could have dreamt about being in a giant throne with a talking squirrel. Who knows what he could have dreamt about? It could have been a very different world.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been quite as popular, I don't imagine.
It depends, doesn't it?
Maybe it does. Maybe
anyway,
you
got anything to say for yourself? Because quite frankly, I'm starting to doubt it. Are we going to be on a successful podcast this week? Hey, I'm doing a podcast tonight.
Are you?
In a recording studio.
Wow, who'd have thought it?
Yeah, well, I never thought of it. But you do that, don't you, with your old Southend United shrimpers?
Yeah, doing that tonight as well.
All right, we'll both be podding. We're both.
Well, that, Radio
now Essex. It's not like one of us having an affair. Now we are swingers.
PM extra time. Go and download that. Here is the thing I'm going to say to our listeners. Download that podcast. So when it drops in, you don't even have to listen to it. I just want the people that be at the radio station that I now work for to see it getting downloaded and then going, oh, yeah, no, that's good. Essentially, for every person that downloads it, It's almost like paying cash directly into my bank account without.
Why don't you just get a link to the download, go onto some message board, and entitle the link "Russian teen hate fucks his mum" or something, and you get loads of downloads.
That is true. So what podcast are you going on?
Our good old friend Jason's got a new podcast, I think, and I'm going to be his first guest.
You think?
I think it's new. I didn't really listen, but either I'm the first guest or I'm not. It's one or the other.
You haven't listened to any of the previous ones?
I don't think there are any previous ones. Are you listening to anything?
So you're going on that? What are you talking about? What kind of thing is
comedy,
it? He hasn't
comedy.
Even told me he's got one.
I keep saying, do I need to prep anything? He's like, no, mate, we're just going to talk about doing comedy. He's like, oh, I don't know anything about that. But managed to crowbar in glandular fever several times. That is my M.O.
Well, let us know where it is. Next time we record, you let us know. Or you could tweet about it and let our listeners hear you and our good friend Jason Stamp.
Yeah, if you want to hear things I say on here but said somewhere else, then that'd be a good thing to do, wouldn't it?
So I realised I now record the podcast with Matt Adlington, but we also now do the live show every Saturday with Ross McGrain as well.
Right.
And Ross McGrain will do a thing while he's on air of pretending that the mics are up and go into a link. So we'll think we're in a live link on the radio with 69,000 people listening. And he'll just say the most horrible, horrible thing. Like, he'll do a link for a minute that we're all involved with and then just say a horrible thing and then go, he's going to get caught one time, isn't he?
Oh, what, he's saying it off air?
Yeah, so we're doing a live link.
The Ron Atkinson, yeah?
Basically that, yeah. So we'll be doing a live link.
I think we better say, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying it's the same content as Ron Atkinson.
Oh, God, no.
No, but the fact that he thinks the mics aren't hot.
It'll just be the worst swearing you can imagine.
Yeah. No, there is something about doing that. And the other day I was in Wetherspoons, believe it? Only table,
picture, of course.
Only table was next to the kitchen. Young girl, can you say that these days? Assume gender.
You can say young.
A young girl person. Was like the waitress, and it was really, really busy.
Oh, waiting staff.
Waiting. Yeah.
Oh, so a young person was part of the waiting team.
Non-gender specific.
Pacific.
Wait. Non-gender Atlantic waiting staff. And it was really busy, people were milling about. She sort of like had the empty plates and backed into the swing door to the kitchen, and as she opened it, just some chef went, "Oh, you fucking R-word," like so loud and so clear.
Wow.
Everybody like I reckon it's a big Spoons where I live, and it was rammed. 40 people must have looked round. Then she went red and went, "I'm really sorry," and then just went in the kitchen.
So and what then, did he do?
Well, about what? 2 minutes later, a sort of like chef came walking out looking at the floor. Looked like he was getting sent home. Like, I think a manager might have been called and had gone in there, but I didn't. I'll be honest, I didn't see a manager go in. I could embellish
the story.
So what,
he was walking through the door, she's walking back.
No, a girl just, as she walked in and opened the door, you just heard in the kitchen. You couldn't see anything because there's like a big steel fridge. Like, you couldn't, she said, "You fucking R-word." And then like 2 minutes later, I see a bloke, like a chef, with his hat in his hand, sort of like kicking the floor as he walked out. It looked like he'd been given his marching orders. But I think
he's having a go at a staff member.
It was just one chef shouted at another chef, and then I think the girl told everyone, like 40 people heard that. So then I reckon a manager went in there and like said, "Go home" or whatever.
Yeah, he's earned that, hasn't he?
Well, be honest, I quite enjoyed it. The whole scene.
The whole scene is enjoyable, but
it is enjoyable. It's inappropriate. It's incorrect politically, and
funny though.
So yeah, social injustice, I guess, but just with a proper Norfolk accent as well, and loved it. Loved every minute of it. I finished my drink and I was like, "I ain't leaving yet. I've got to see how this pans out."
I was in Ipswich recently, and it's really strange that when you travel to Ipswich, because it's not far, you know, it's an hour and a half from where I live.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, everyone speaks with a totally different accent in a different way.
Do you know,
way.
In Norfolk, I think Norfolk's got, I think the equivalent of like the area I was growing up in was King's Lynn. King's Lynn's geographically not that far away from where I grew up, but like culturally it's like a different planet. Yeah. And it just happens all of a sudden.
You just go into a town and they speak differently and act differently.
I lived in Ipswich for 2 years, and it's just one of those places that doesn't change. The only thing that's changed about Kingsdene, they've built, I think this is always a sad indictment. The only thing, if anything, if you call this an improvement, but the only sort of thing they've ever upgraded is like those out-of-town shopping, sort of like retail parks.
Yeah.
There's more of them, but the town's even more decayed and drawn out and
dead. Well,
that's
because of them, isn't it?
It is, but it's like, you walk. I remember when I was at college, I'd walk through like the town, it's like 94 to 96 I was there, I'd walk through the town centre like, you know, like Friday night, 8 o'clock, and you'd see no one. And it's still like that. Mm. Probably more so, like you say, but it's kind of like, I don't know, it kind of feels soulless to me. There's probably people who live in Ipswich, but fuck you, your town's a shit.
Yeah, I would agree that it's one of the worst places. But it's such a beautiful place. We've said this before. It's actually a really nice place, building-wise.
Yeah, there are nice parts. The trouble is, I think, the town centre... There are other places like this where the town centres were mismanaged, like, terribly. Was it the 60s and 70s, maybe? Yeah. Where they just let them build this almost like brutalism type architecture. So you'll have like a old Tudor building in Ipswich next to a very 70s perfunctory brutalist
block
sort
of
like
concrete.
Yeah, concrete arcade with like a row of shops in it, and it's all like a mismatch.
Yeah.
Whereas like Bury St Edmunds, which is like 25 minutes down the road, is they've been so careful, and there's such a sort of like.
But the new bit of Bury St Edmunds, they built separately, didn't they?
Exactly. They've got that new bit with where the Ark is. It's like a shopping centre, and it's all very modern. But you can't see that from the old town. And they would never infill. You know, Bury St Edmunds is sort of very protective of its, you know, it's sort of like the feel.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I've been to both places, and I agree with you.
Well, there you go. I don't know if it's interesting or not. But I remember like when you were younger, like you'd hear about people on the council like turning down things, like they want to build a bowling alley and the or something that, you know, when you're young and you'd be like, well, when are they, you know, they won't let it happen. There's nothing. You sort of look back and I agree. As you get older, you're like, no, I do want to preserve the sort of like, because everyone's just getting the same, homogenised, isn't it?
As I lived in Benfleet in Essex, and there was constantly talk of a McDonald's being built at this site that just was a derelict bit of land, really. And every 6 months you go, yep, they've got it, they've got the McDonald's, and McDonald's is happening. And it never happened. And then the next town along, Hadley, got a McDonald's. And it was like, oh, but they're going to build one, it's coming to Benfleet. And it just never, ever happened. It's flats now. But, yeah.
Well, the thing is, are flats better than a McDonald's? I mean, probably. But I mean more like, if they, you know, when they like build something next to something, it's like, oh, this
would ruin it. It would have been horrible. The traffic would have been awful.
Yeah, that's an old man thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is an old man thing. Because like, and when you were young, I mean, it's not just you being a vegan. But when you were young, you was like, McDonald's, yeah, build a McDonald's. And now I'd be like, yeah, I don't want to. Like, you know, I'm the sort of bloke now that if they said they were going to build a second Tesco's here, I'd probably like go on a march or something.
They did that in my mum's village. But my mum, it's really strange. Like, they protested against a Tesco being built just on the edge of the village. But my mum will still drive to Waitrose to do her shopping. Like, Waitrose is any better.
Well, it's not that. I mean, it's kind of like, what do they call it, NIMBY, like not in my backyard.
Yeah.
It's like I will drive to a supermarket. I just don't want to like look out my window in a little village and see like a giant monolith to the cathedral of consumerism.
The trouble is, it's everything else is more expensive. So if you want to spend £80 on a box of eggs, you're going to go to the Eggsmith.
Yeah.
But Tesco will sell them for a quid each.
Yeah, you don't see the Eggsmith so much now, do you?
No, it's a dying trade, isn't it?
I remember. You have like a family of Eggsmiths in the town.
Yeah, that's why you get the surname Eggsmith.
Yeah, Eggsmith, and obviously then I remember the old days on Saturday. You'd pop to the Eggsmith on the way home. You'd have a little peruse around the bacon monger.
Yeah.
Get back, have your little fry up. Just different times, mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're trying to think of another one.
No, I can't think of any
the
other
sausage
ones
because
you did monger. You did Smith, Munger. What else is there?
Merchant. The sausage merchant.
The breadman. The breadman? No.
Yeah, the bread. What are they? Yeah.
The black pudding.
Blacksmith. Black pudding smith.
No, Smith. We've had a Smith, haven't we?
Oh, we have. Yeah.
So Cooper makes a barrel, doesn't he?
I think, if anything, this conversation, if I had to file this and title it, it would be Quit While You're Ahead.
Mm. You did well. You did well, mate.
Yeah, thank you.
Mate.
So,
yeah, and we're getting in together. We've just confirmed. We're doing a gig.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to be, so we can do some videos, some live pods, some what pods, some Tide pods. What are we going to do?
We can do live pods. We can do video pods. We can pod.
Vanilla pods.
Podly pod pod. Poddington. That is in a couple
pods
of weeks.
We're a couple
Leon
of podsniffs, aren't we?
Very exclusive little club in Leon C. I've done it before. It was lovely.
Can we go? Can I get there? Are you gonna, can we do an early one? Can we come down and we could, that's what we could do. Like, we could do a walk and talk around Southend.
Yeah.
Hey, should we interview some people?
No.
No. Yeah, I just thought we could like do some of those vox pops on the streets of Southend, but only pick people that look like they're exclusively dressed from Sports Direct, which is everyone.
All of them.
Yes. All of the people.
Yeah, we wouldn't have time. We wouldn't have time.
We wouldn't. Maybe you only pick the ones like the fewer teeth that go to the top of the list.
Again, very difficult to squeeze.
I mean, actually, get fewer than none.
So that's quite exciting. So that's the Squeeze Cafe. I think only it's about 30 people.
Oh my god! I don't normally do such small. Yeah, I do.
Them all,
I'll get nervous.
So I bought a new car at the weekend. Right?
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
I wasn't really involved, I'll be honest.
Well, we're men. This is the sort of things that we're supposed to talk about, not the shit we fucking peddle.
So, right, go to the car shop, the carsmith, right?
Yeah.
And my girlfriend takes the car out for a drive because that's important. She's the boss of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I then take it out for a drive. My son comes with both of us separately because we've got the tiny baby, right? So we don't want to load up the car seat and all that gubbins. So we take it out individually. When I get back to the office, the car office, my girlfriend is sitting with the car dealer and they're having a lovely chat. And I think this is only going one way. We are buying this car. I can tell we're buying this car. They're already in the room. There's no way I can nudge her.
He's already licking his thumb to count the readies.
There you go. However, we're looking through the stuff, talking bits and bobs, blah, 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 blah. He says, like, we will give you, because it's friend of a friend, like someone else has bought a car there. So I wouldn't say friend of a friend, but, you know, there's previous between one of her friends and this car dealer. And he says, look, I'm prepared to give you the maximum that I can give you on your car in part exchange. Because you know so-and-so, because you know them, I'm prepared to do that. And he says, well, you've had a lot of miles on that car. Your car, for its age, has got a lot of miles on it. And then Claire...
I like him already.
And then my girlfriend says, yeah, that's because of your gigging. No. So alarm bells have gone off in my head instantly. Mm-hmm. Why has she said, don't say that. Why have you said that? So he says, gigging? What do you mean gigging? What kind of gigging? So then what I do is I turn into Frank Spencer from Some Mothers Do Have Him, a sort of stutter.
Oh, that Frank Spencer. Thanks for fucking qualifying that.
Well, some of our listeners might not. They're abroad, aren't they?
Yeah, they're if they
America.
Don't know, they're not going to go Google it, Ash. Just carry on
go
with the story.
Go Google Frank Spencer and send the image to Justin Panks to prove that you did do that. So what kind of gig? She says comedy, stand up. So then we have a lovely conversation about Jim Davidson, Roy Chubby Brown,
Adolf Hitler,
Frank Skinner, to be fair to him,
Tommy Robinson, all the greats.
And then he starts talking about stand up and stand ups he likes and when am I there next, when am I going to gig in Braintree again. And then he says he is from, there's a lovely comedy gig in the town that he lives, in Billericay. And I say, where's that? He says, the cricket club.
Oh my God, one of my punters.
One of your punters. He's never been, but he's heard it's great. So then he calls in two other dealers from the car dealership and says, John. They're both called John.
Of course.
This guy's a stand-up. We should go and see him. And they're like, yeah. He then knocks 1,500 quid off the value of the price of the car, and says, and then, but then my girlfriend mentions about doing the radio. She mentions about doing the radio.
That's the most you've ever made from stand-up, like in one day.
And then she says about the radio. He goes, if you mention us on the radio, I'd give you free valets. Is it valets?
Valets? I know, it's one of those words I don't know how to say it.
But he says, mention clean, us on
good,
the radio.
A comprehensive and cleaning of car inside and out.
Bring the car back and we'll fully clean your car free.
Well, plug him on here, mate, and he... He'll plug him on here and he'll come key it.
I've absolutely had an absolute... It's been... I mean, I would never mention doing stand-up, but
the
my
only
girlfriend...
thing now is that's completely blown a hole in our theory that it's always awful to talk about it. You've now got an example of when it wasn't. So it's
just literally walk into anything that you're about to go, oh, I do stand-up, by the way.
Can you... Oh, actually, can I count? I've got like the... I've got the yin to your yang story.
Yeah.
I got a quote for a bloke to come around and put a window in. Because I'm turning... Oh, then long story. And
the upstairs room into a children's bedroom.
But like, we haven't talked about that for so long, and I haven't done anything in the time we haven't talked about it. I think it's just mental illness. I can blame
those
that.
Those boys
now
are still not in their own rooms.
They're outside.
One of them is going to be sexually active with a girl soon.
Well, it's a decent shed. So anyway, the point is, I got him round, then he starts going, what do you do then? And I went, oh, me. And I just told him. I had a moment, I went and did comedy.
What?
I don't know why it happened. Then he started going, I've had some brilliant nights up the race nights and that, up football clubs and that. And
race nights? Just purely race-based comedy?
No. You know where they have the sort of VHS of a fucking load of horse races? And then they had a bloke up there who's ever so blue. And then I told him. And then he goes, I'll give you a quote. And I go, well, I want to cut that out bigger. He goes, that's a lot of money because I want to make the window bigger, but I don't want to mess with the lintel, so I'm going to cut it deeper rather than wider.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I wouldn't bother doing that. It's going to be a lot more. I said, well, give me a price to just come and put a window in, which I could do myself. It's a long story why I've got to call him. And then and he goes, right, I was out for my anniversary. And he goes, phone me up. He's like, oh, it's so-and-so from window place. I went, all right, mate. He goes, yeah, price for just doing the window, $870.
Nearly a grand for a window.
To just come, take my window away and put a new one in.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. I think when I said I'm a comedian...
He's added money on.
He's thought, oh, I bet they get like about $5,000 a day.
He's £870 to take out a window and put a window in.
I said, could you send me... I said, I can't say now, mate. I said, could you email me the details over? And he went, yeah, what's your email address? And I went, I can't remember. Just hung up.
Did you?
Yep.
Well done.
But,
proud of you.
Oh yeah, but, okay, big myself up there. What I should probably leave off, the addendum that I've deliberately...
Texted
which
him
I should
yes,
leave off.
Do it.
No, is that he's rang me like four or five times, I just haven't answered him.
No, I wouldn't answer too. Right, he screwed you over there. He's made a big mistake.
Huge mistake, because I'm not going to mention his window company on this podcast.
Yeah.
Or if I did, it would be in a watchdog rogue traders type way. Where I get
he
on
might
that
be phoned up and go, I've made a fool of myself. Sorry, I was phoning you, but I was meant to be phoning Justin Porks.
Jasmine Plonks.
Because we're doing his entire house.
And he wants a crystal.
Not being funny, you could get your whole house re-windowed for like $4,000.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I know that I can get a window from a manufacturer for about 120 quid and just do it myself.
Yeah.
But I just thought, local, you get that little paper through the door. I'll be honest with you, she phoned him. I didn't want to say that. But I've got a phone call. She's like, oh, there's a bloke coming round. She went, ah, there's a bloke coming round to measure the window. Because my wife is half woman, half crow.
I saw a picture of her the other day.
Yeah, because it was her fault. She was having a conference call in the pod booth, so I couldn't get in it.
No.
That one? Is that the one you meant?
Yeah, that's the one I meant. Yeah. And you went, nah, mate.
Just couldn't even disturb her, even though no. She looked round.
She gave you a look when you opened the door.
Not me. I just stuck my phone around the corner. I daren't put my head above the parapet. She would have I'd have got one between the eyes, mate.
Yeah, that was fair. And hence we're late.
Her fault. Her fault that I had to, like, ignore a man calling me five times about a ridiculously expensive quote, and her fault that the pod's late, if it is late. Is it even late?
I mean, it's Tuesday today, isn't it?
Oh, fuck, I thought it was Thursday and we'd done one this week already.
No.
Well, I don't know how that happened.
Oh, yes. Summed up. Summed up the Justin Panks last 2 months.
Well, I
don't know. Don't know how that's happened. He's all got the shit. I don't know how that's happened.
Literally, I'd think that should be my catchphrase. Like me standing there,
Justin,
in the kitchen.
This window's fallen out. Oh, don't know how that's happened. Like you've got nothing to do with it.
Me stood in the kitchen, it's burnt down. I've got like a blowtorch. Like, well, I don't know how that's happened.
There you go. That's your Edinburgh title.
Oh, I've got that. I've got my Edinburgh title. I've got the show. Got the arc. Got the ending. Got idea.
Got
for
the art.
Arc. The arc of the trajectory of this fantastic one man opus.
Got your room.
Yeah. So I've got. Yeah, I can't say, but yeah, I have.
Have you actually?
Yeah, I've got a room through the side door. I'll tell you after we stop recording. I don't feel good about it, but fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, can you edit all that out? Yeah, I've got a room.
I'm not sure I am going to edit it all out. But, yeah. Do you want me to? No, you haven't said anything.
Yeah, okay. They won't listen to this.
The editing on this podcast has been huge. It's probably only going to be a 5-minute podcast once I cut out all those racist things you said.
Well, the things that I said today weren't racist. I was casting spurious...
things I said today.
Well, I was casting spurious aspersions that may or may not be true.
You're the least racist person I've ever met.
I don't even see colour, mate. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that is difficult, isn't it? Because you're a professional snooker player.
That's right, yeah. I'm a driving instructor. I don't know, traffic lights. I was trying to think of something, didn't work.
Point of the sausage is in the proof of the eating.
Here's a question about sausages. Can you cast your mind back to before you was a vegan? Further back before you was a vegetarian?
Yes.
Did you ever have pizza with sausage on from like a pizza place?
No.
Okay. Then you won't. This is the listener. Why is it that when you have sausage on a pizza from like Domino's or something, it tastes like aniseed, but like in every other incarnation, unless you specifically, you like if you went to a chip shop and said, can I have sausage and chips, and it tasted of aniseed, you would sling it in his face. So
it's
why is...
It tastes disgusting.
Why is sausage... on pizza, it's called sausage, but it's they're taken as given. It's going to have like an aniseed tang to it.
I was leaving a space for the listener to respond.
The listener to sigh and delete.
Maybe at Justin Panks and tell him.
No,
I
don't go on there. But it's true. It's an interest. These are the sort of things. And here's another question. Why has no one invented a coffee bag? Like a tea bag, but full of coffee.
Basically, it
could be the same one cup principle as a cafetiere.
Because coffee just breaks down anyway, doesn't
it? But a cafetiere. If people go to the point of using a cafetiere, which is like you put ground coffee beans and then fill. Why don't they just put those ground up coffee beans in a bag? It'd be better. Okay. It's a up level up from instant freeze dried coffee, Ash.
Why has no one invented instant tea?
Well, that's what you get with a vending machine, to be fair. Don't you? They don't have tea bags in vending machines when you buy a tea, does it?
Honestly, don't know. Honestly.
Well, you ever had a cup of tea from a vending machine?
Yes.
Have you ever had to take the tea bag out?
Yes.
Has there ever been occasions when you haven't? I feel like I need to waterboard you here. This is like an interrogation. Orange boiler suit. Have you never ever had a...
I have. Of course I fucking have, yes.
Yeah, well, that's like a freeze-dried tea.
Instant tea exists. It tastes like piss. That's why it's not popular.
Yeah, but cafetiere coffee's better than freeze-dried coffee, so why has no one invented a fucking coffee bag?
I might start drinking coffee.
God, just come drink coffee with me. We'll go to that place, your friend's one, and we'll get a vegan coffee.
Okay. We'll do that.
God, here's an interesting question. Probably not,
but... I'll be the judge of that.
Would you drink civet coffee?
that's gone through a monkey?
As a vegan. No, it's like a little, it's actually like a little more like a mammal or marsupial type thing, isn't it? Almost like a possum.
No, I wouldn't, but only because it's disgusting.
Okay, but not for, on vegan grounds.
No, not on vegan grounds.
Because you kind of are ingesting an animal product in that you're ingesting it. I think its stomach acid mellows the flavour, so it is. It has been. I guess that the animal product will be washed off, I guess, but it has been.
You'd hope, wouldn't you? You would hope.
Yeah.
Would you mind washing the shit off that awfully?
So you think, as a spokesman for all vegans, that it's fine and there's not a vegan issue with drinking the coffee that's passed through a civet cat?
Well, some vegans would not have it because of any link with animals, but that's not how I...
Well, yeah, not really.
Deal with it.
Veganism is a bit like Scientology, isn't it? You have to keep going up the levels.
I think veganism is a bit like religion in as much as people believe different things... And
well, no, not even that. You can believe the same religion, but to different degrees.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you could say, I'm a Christian, and then you could get someone, then someone could be like uber Christian and say, I don't know, whatever their thing is. I don't even know.
Yeah, again, understood your point.
That's kind of like weird, because I guess, like, by default, I'm a Christian, but I know less about that than probably like any of the other ones, because it's so boring.
Less about any of the other ones that you can't name at this stage.
Well, I didn't want a single one out. But, you know, like I always say, Judaism, Islam, the other one, Roman Catholic.
Buddhams.
Yeah. I probably know more about that than Christianity, because Christianity is just, like, literally boring as fuck. There's nothing to it. You know what I mean? They haven't even got, angle, have they?
No. That's true. They just
What's your hook? And that wasn't a dig at Abu Hamza. But what is the hook on the Christianity?
My hook. I went to church as a child.
When you christened?
It's weird, isn't it? I drove past that church the other day and I thought, what were they thinking, my parents, that we went to church? Really weird. My dad's a massive atheist. I wonder how that came about.
But then again, was it like, okay, before, in the old days, not, you know, obviously not your time, but maybe when your parents were children, then it was probably still... the centre of a community, even if you didn't really believe it. Was it a social thing?
They christened me. What were they hoping to get?
Just a day out on a piss, innit?
I reckon it must
be. I considered it with mine. I never did, but it was like, we could have a... But no, I didn't get them christened. Fuck that.
We're all atheists.
I didn't want him to lean down with his little hand full of holy water and see the mark of the beast on their forehead. I think that would have been awkward. With a soldering iron.
You dumb. Should point out, Rhiannon, the Patreon subscriber, has upped her pledge to $5 a month. And I think this will be down. There'll be a huge swathe of $5 a month patrons as there's stickers coming, Justin. The first batch of exclusive stickers is on its way.
Can I just say something? I feel compelled to say this. I've been triggered by the word sticker.
Yeah.
Do you ever like really misspeak and misrepresent yourself, and you die inside, and you want to cringe, and you want the ground to open up and swallow you? It's like basically the worst thing ever.
Yeah, all the time.
That is how I feel when I inadvertently am texting someone and accidentally send a GIF or a sticker. You know, like, I'm having a serious conversation. I look up and I've sent, like, a childish cartoon depiction of a raccoon with love hearts for eyes.
Yeah.
And I go, wow! And I have to apologise for it. It's, like, the worst thing. Can you not delete them off your fucking phone?
All the time, but
why
yeah,
can't we delete them? Why can't we delete emojis and GIFs and stuff? I inadvertently send them, like, all the time.
But nothing... I mean, I've mentioned this, but I'm going to mention it again for any new listeners. I sent, instead of my divorce papers, when I was getting divorced...
Yeah, you sent it.
I sent a CD, an MP3 CD, of my first hour of comedy to the court. And I sent my divorce papers to the comedy promoter who had asked for an audio version of my CD.
He must have thought you were like Lenny Bruce.
What was I thinking? That makes me want to get in the car.
I'll tell you what, mate.
Drive it into the sea.
I feel like that every time I look up and realise I've sent a fucking sticker to someone. Like, I'm having a serious conversation with someone I don't know that well, and it's like I look up and there's like a fucking unicorn on a unicycle. It's like, oh, yeah. Christ, what have I done? And I have to go, whoops, sorry, fat thumbs, I didn't mean to send that.
Yeah.
And then I was put, well, I did wonder, lol, and I'm like, well, now I hate you. We can't be friends anymore. This is just a shit show from start to finish.
And on that bombshell, this shit show has to finish because we've run out of time. We'll try and get back on time as of next week. Plus, we'll do the March extra one. It's been a pleasure to finally get to speak to you, sir.
I feel back. I feel like I'm back. I've got my energy back. I've got my chutzpah back. I can't. Did you? That was me trying to do chutzpah with no uvula. Chutzpah.
Listen to this podcast. Listen to my other podcast with Matt Adlington, Soccer PM. Listen to me live on Saturday, Soccer PM, 3 to 7. Listen to Justin.
No,
on
don't bother. I just feel like you're support act now. Just don't.
Jason
bother. Just
Stamps podcast.
Listen
whatever
to
that's
Ash.
Called.
Just don't listen to me.
There's a new radio show coming. I can't go into too much detail right now, but Prime Time Ash Frith on Radio Essex coming soon.
Oh, but on that, and also that's reminded me that I've literally got nothing in the pipeline. That
excellent.
Is,
well,
yeah,
we'll work on something together. Support the podcast on Patreon. How can they do that?
By going to patreon.com/pranksandfurf, donating increments $1, $5, $10. It's quite difficult to say that without going racist. Yes. So I think I just about
Patreon.
Saved it, but
$5 patrons are getting stickers and there's t-shirts going. We still haven't heard from Matt, whoever it was, that did the win, won the competition.
He don't want a fucking t-shirt, does he?
He needs to get in touch, and we've contacted the other patrons for their t-shirt size. Justin has designed an incredible t-shirt.
I am going to. Right, oh. I've got to get my arse in gear and go to Cambridge for this other podcast. I'm going.
All right, see you later.
Peace.